That we're sanctification, we're sanctified in faith in what Christ did, not sanctified by our own strength. You know the story of the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus?
Yeah.
Go to Acts chapter 26, and we'll start in verse 12. And we will see this story of the man Saul, who was a religious leader, and he was commissioned in verse 12 by the chief priests. What was he commissioned to do? He was commissioned to go kill Christians. He was a religious leader. And verse 13. At midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen on the ground, I heard a voice speak to me and say in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. So I said, Lord, who art thou? He called him Lord. He knows it's God. Think about it. Put yourself there that day. A religious leader with all the robes and the big train. He knows the law. And all these people are saying, Jesus Christ was the Son of God who died on the cross, shed his blood to pay for my sins, and now I'm washed away. I don't need to keep the law anymore. He kept it for me. And he's mad. He's mean. There's nothing meaner than a religious person. There's nothing meaner than a man who's trying to make himself right before God. Religion's mean. Look at a lot of the wars we have today. It's because of religion. They're religious wars. They're mean people. But us with a relationship with Christ, and we know that we know we have Jesus, we're able to allow people like Saul come and even stone us and kill us and pray for them as they're doing it because of our faith in Jesus. That's not religion. That's a relationship. And Saul sees the bright light and he goes to his knee and he says, Lord, who art thou? And the voice comes back and says, I am Jesus, the one you persecute, but get up. Because I'm going to deliver you from the Jews and the Gentiles to whom I now send you. Verse 18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and two things. Forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith in me. Forgiveness of sins by faith in me and sanctified by faith in me. Not by what you do, sanctified by faith in me. Can you imagine that day? Jesus Christ, who had died, buried, rose again, comes to the Apostle Paul on the road. Pastor, listen. And he says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to preach forgiveness of sins by faith in me and a sanctification, an inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith that's in me. You're never going to forget it. You're never gonna forget that. The Apostle Paul wrote half of the New Testament. What did he write? He wrote sanctification by faith. We're gonna study it today. You're gonna see it like you've never seen it before. You cannot sanctify yourself. It's an inheritance. An inheritance. You don't pay for an inheritance. You can't earn an inheritance. It's a gift. You simply receive an inheritance. What else about an inheritance? Someone has to die. That was Jesus. He died for our sanctification. We inherit this. We receive it because he paid for it. And now the Apostle Paul is writing the epistles to the churches all over Asia. And he writes to the children in Corinth. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Remember what he heard on the road to Damascus. He'll never forget. And he starts out the whole long book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, like this. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Synesius, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those that are sanctified in Christ, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctification by faith in me, Jesus said. You cannot make yourself holy. I don't care if you read 50 chapters of the Bible a day, pray and fast and give all your money. You cannot make yourself holy. Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness. He still had to go to the cross. He prayed more than all of us. He still had to shed his blood. He knew more scripture than we did. Of course. Quoting scripture. Learning the word of God is for edification. It's to better understand who he is and what he's done. It does not have power over sin. The wages of sin is death. It's payment. Your wage, it's what you earn. We earn death. Sin had to be paid for. It had to be paid for with a death. The wages of sin is death. Jesus came down perfect and died for our sin. The wage of sin is not Bible reading or fasting. The wage of sin is fasting. Oh, so you have a sin problem? So fast for 21 days and you'll have victory? No. No, no, no. Sin was defeated on the cross. Fasting does not defeat sin. Fasting is good. Some of us should fast more. But it does not defeat sin. Sin was defeated on the cross. So all these programs of man, all these systems of men, do this, don't go there, do that, and here's a 40-day book, do all those things, and then you'll have victory. This is how to live for God. No, we are sanctified. We're made holy. We live for God by faith in what he's done. Sanctification for those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. Called to be saints. You know what the word saint is in the Greek? It means holy. We're holy. St. Lawrence, St. Martin, St. Mark, St. Helen. We are all St. Rio, St. Marcella, St. Mavie. We are saints. St. Dan, St. Doreen. We're all saints. We're all holy. God calls me holy. Why? Because my faith is in his Son. I'm holy in the sight of God. Not anything I've done, but because our faith is in what he did. Only in what he did. Not in my little program. Not in my works. See, this is the problem. Look at it. Man has a problem. It's called sin. Alright? It's called sin. And guess what? It doesn't go away when you get saved. It stays dormant. We die to the sin nature, but the sin nature is still alive. Oh. Well, let me talk to your husband or your wife. Maybe they will know that you still have a problem with sin sometimes. Okay? You can dress yourself all up, go to church, look good. But we still have a problem with sin. But the problem for sin was defeated on the cross. God in heaven is separated. Man is separated from God because of our sin. But the day we get saved, we put our faith in what? We put our faith in what Jesus did on the cross. Amen? That's how we're saved. God sees our faith in His Son's finished work on the cross. That's the only thing that satisfies Him. That's the only thing that pleases God. Our faith in what Jesus did on the cross. Now, God sees our faith, and by His grace, because we don't earn it, He sends the Holy Spirit into man. Glory to God, the Holy Spirit lives in us. Why? All by faith in what Christ did. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit in me produces works. Here's the works. I'm going to do missionary work. I'm going to preach. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give money. Did anybody give money before they got saved? No. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And now, as I put my faith in Christ, God sees my faith in His Son, and the Holy Spirit comes into me and produces the works. But this is where we go wrong. This is where we have the problem, Christian. You have it, and I have it, and everybody has it. But now, today, you're going to be able to recognize it for what it really is and how to have victory over it. The problem is, I move my faith from the finished work of Jesus to what I'm doing. And pretty soon, my faith is in my missionary work or my preaching or my Bible reading. All these are good things. But only thing that pleases God is faith in His Son. This is the only way the Holy Spirit works. He will not help you if your faith is over here. Oh, I still have my faith in Jesus for salvation, but I'm talking about sanctification. Jesus said, sanctify by faith in me. Not faith in what I do. So I start putting my faith in what I'm doing, and watch, I have just bypassed the cross of Christ to get to God. Now I'm trying to please God by what I'm doing. The Holy Spirit will not help me. He will not glorify another. If He helps you, as your faith is in what you're doing, He's denying that the work was finished by Christ. He came, Jesus said, to testify about me. Jesus said He came to testify about me. The Holy Spirit always, always, always points to Christ. He does not point to us. He will not anoint you if you're preaching a system of man. He will not anoint you or your worship if you're singing about what you're going to do or preaching about what you want people to do. The church world is giving people the what to without the how to. They can stand behind the pulpit and they can preach Jesus, 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 Jesus. He's the answer for everything. He's the one you look to. Don't look to the government. Don't look to yourself. Look to Jesus. But if you don't give them, if you don't preach the how-to of what Jesus did on the cross, then you're not a minister of the new covenant. You're not ministering the new covenant. Look at 2 Corinthians. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, all right, go ahead. Look at 2 Corinthians for a minute, chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Look at it. We can't even trust God without going through Christ. We can't even trust God without going. It doesn't say, and trust, such trust we have toward God. No, it says such trust we have through Christ toward God. Verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves as to think of anything as being from ourselves. I looked up that word anything in the Greek. Do you know what it means? It means anything. Nothing comes from us. We are not sufficient. We are not capable. We are not able. We can't do it. We can't do it in our own selves. But our sufficiency is from God. All of our sufficiency is from God. Pastors, listen. Verse 6. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. We are to be ministers of the new covenant. What is the new covenant? What is the new contract? What is the New Testament? Jesus Christ, all man. Jesus Christ, all God. Come together on the cross. Because man had to pay our sin debt. And Jesus Christ made a new contract with God by shedding his blood. One time, once, for the sins of all, to justify us, to sanctify us, to one time glorify us, all through the finished work of his cross, the sacrifice. We are to be ministers of the new covenant. When you stand behind your pulpit and you're preaching about a marriage problem, you need to preach and give them the finished work of Christ. He paid for that problem that they're having in their marriage. There's a financial need, it comes through the cross. You need healing, it comes through, by his stripes we are healed. Through the cross, through the shed blood. Every time we step behind our pulpit, he's not writing to the unbeliever, he's writing to the church at Corinth, ministers of the new covenant. We must preach the finished work of Jesus. If we don't give them the blood, the sacrifice of God's Son, when we preach, we're not giving them the power. For the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Now we're giving them the what to without the how to. Ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. The letter of the law will kill your people, Pastor. Go do this, go do that, go here, go. Oh, you're having a problem with sin? Well, go to the encounter group and write down all your sins and throw them in a fire and you'll have victory. God forbid. How stupid have we got? How ridiculous is that? Oh, I know you're having a problem with alcohol. Leave all your money at home. Then when you go to work, you won't be able to drink, you'll have victory. Your problem is lust. Oh, throw the computer away and turn off the internet, you'll have victory. It may be a good idea to turn the computer off, but it will not give you victory over sin. Sin was defeated on the cross. Look back to Jesus. Nowhere do we fight against sin. Minister the new covenant. Point him to Jesus. Point him to the blood. That's where sin was defeated. We don't say, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to sin. We say, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, you defeated sin. I can't defeat sin. I can't have victory in my own strength. I am not sufficient in my own self. But all my sufficiency comes from God. That's why I'm a minister of the new covenant, of the New Testament, not of the letter. These other things are laws. I don't care what the problem is. I don't care what the symptom of the sin is, unforgiveness, lust, gambling, lying, stealing, cheating. It's all a symptom of the problem. The problem is our sin nature. It's in us. When you're 1 year old, there's two of you, one toy. What do? Play with the toy? No, you fight for the toy. We're born sinners. That's why we sin. We don't sin and become a sinner. We're born sinners, and that's why we sin. And the answer for sin is the blood of Jesus. That's why we are to be ministers of the new covenant. The law kills. Do this. Go here. Go there. No. Give them Jesus. Point them to the cross. Point them to the blood. Preach the blood of Jesus. Preach the cross. Because it's the power of God for those that are saved. The letter kills. But the Spirit of God in me points me to the finished work of Christ. Brings life. Look at the next verse. Hold on, Pastor. Hold on to your seats. Verse 7. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious. Wow! The Holy Spirit said that the Ten Commandments, written and engraved on stones, was the ministry of death. If we preach law, we're going to kill the people. If we live by law, we're going to die. The law was to kill me in the first place. The old man passed away. Behold, all things became new. Why and how did the old man pass away? Because the law condemned me in the flesh. The law showed me I need a Savior. I need Jesus. And what Jesus did on the cross paid for my sin. I do not go back to law. I do not become a minister of law because I'm ministering death to the people. Look at verse 8. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Verse 9, for if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. So here's your choice, Pastor. Minister of death, minister of righteousness. Minister of the new covenant, minister of condemnation. Minister of righteousness, that's the cross of Christ. He gave us his righteousness. We have some repenting to do. We have to search our heart and ask God for forgiveness for some of the things that we've been teaching and preaching. We believe in the blood. We know we got saved by faith in Christ. There's no doubt about our salvation, but we're trying to sanctify ourselves. You're not alone. We all go there sometimes. When we get to heaven, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says this. We overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we loved not our lives unto the death. We overcame him. We overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. What will be the word of our testimony? I was a missionary to the Philippines. I was a pastor of a big church. I did a Bible study every Sunday. I did this, I did that, I gave money. No! When we get to heaven and we stand before a holy God, church, we're going to say, I overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Look what Jesus did. He saved me. He filled me. He healed me. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. My testimony will be about what Jesus did. Not about me. Not about you. It's going to be about Him. And we love not our lives unto the death. We've got to die to self. Come on. We've got to die. We don't want to die. We don't like to die. We like the flesh. I don't want to die. Instead of learning how to live the Christian life, we got to learn how to die the Christian death. We got to die to self. Jesus taught us this. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If any man wants to come after me, do you want to come after Jesus? Of course we do. Then Jesus said, let him deny himself. Did he mean deny himself a nice building? Did he mean deny the clothes you wear or only have one pair of shoes instead of two? No. He gives us all these things. He blesses his people. No, he's saying deny yourself. Deny your own strength. You want to follow me? Deny the flesh. You can't do this. You can't do this. Take up your cross. Let him take up his cross daily. A cross is to die on. In the Roman times, if a man was sentenced to die, they'd come to his home. They would take him away with the cross. He was going to die. He would say goodbye to his family, goodbye to his home. Many times, they would take him away with no clothes. You're not going to need your clothes anymore. You're going to die. Deny yourself. Deny your own strength. You can't do it. And die. Every day. Then follow me. Verse 24. For if any man saves his life, he will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it, will save it. We've got to die. And we don't like to die. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. The law. Stand fast. Don't move. Keep your faith in Christ. Verse 2. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. If you go back to the law, Christ will profit you nothing. And if you do, he's a debtor to keep the whole law. If you try and keep the law, even the law being a good thing, and you fail at one point of the law, you failed at it all. So if you put your faith in fasting, and then you fast every Tuesday for 10 weeks, But on the 11th week, you eat and you feel and you know you failed God. Your faith is in your fasting. You did not keep the whole law. Amen? So if we try and keep the law even at one point, we're a debtor to keep the whole law. Verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. Falling from grace is not sinning. Falling from grace is going back to law. It's either law or grace. You're either going to live by law or grace. You can't mix the two. Look at verse 9. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little law leavens the whole lump of grace. The grace of God is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the grace of God. The unmerited favor given to undeserving men. We don't deserve it, but He gave us His Son. Hallelujah. Alright, look at verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is the lust of the flesh? Going back to law. Entire chapter 5 of Galatians is given over to law versus grace. Actually, the whole book of Galatians is to the Galatians about going back to law after they received Christ. Hey, I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is going back to try and please God by what I do, by a law, something I do. Something I want to do to please God. I lust it. I want it. The flesh wants it. I don't die easy. Now notice, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It doesn't mean the lust of the flesh isn't there. But if you're walking in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17 says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. If you get in the flesh, if you try and please God by a law, or what you're doing, if you get your faith over here, you're not going to be able to do the things you want. Your faith must remain in here. Now everybody look at me. I'm going to save you 10 years, if you don't already know this, I'm going to save you 10 years of struggle right now. How do I know that? Because of my own life. This is how you walk in the Spirit. Back to verse 16, please. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do we walk in the Spirit? The Holy Spirit in me always points me to the finished work of Jesus. That's His job. I'm walking in the Spirit as I'm keeping my faith in what Jesus did. Hallelujah. The blood of Christ saved me. The blood of Christ heals me. The blood of Christ delivers me. I'm having a sin problem. The blood of Jesus took care of it. I'm having a problem in my marriage. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for that problem. I'm walking in the Spirit as I continually look to the finished work of Christ, because it's all about Him. I'm preaching the gospel, which is Christ and Him crucified. I am walking in the Spirit, always looking to Christ. I'm not looking to my own strength. I'm not looking to anything else. I'm walking in the Spirit. And now, the lust of the flesh is all around me. Someone says, hey, come on over here and try this 12-step program. No, I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm not going through a law. Oh, try this 40-day book. It'll give you victory. No, I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm not going to go through a book of man. I'm not going to some program some poor, pathetic man came up with. I'm walking in the Spirit, and I will not fulfill the lust of my flesh because I want to go to these things. If you don't believe the Word of God, you've got a problem. The Word of God says that is our problem. We want to go to these things in the flesh, in our own strength. But the Spirit of God will not point us to those things. He'll point us only to Christ. So that we won't do the things we wish. Look at verse 18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. These things are all law. We are going to either live by grace or live by law. Not both. We have a choice of where we'll keep our faith. Grace or law. Under grace, our faith is in Jesus. And the object of our faith is the cross of Christ. That's where we know the victory was won. When we get to heaven, we're going to see the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. The sacrifice. The object of our faith is in Christ. So under grace, my faith is in Jesus and what He did on the cross, the finished work. Adam received the skin. Abel shed the blood. Moses put the blood on the doorpost. Noah found grace in the sight of God. The name Noah means rest. No more work. Rest. My faith is in what Christ did. Under the law, my faith is in my works. My faith is in a program of man. Somebody comes out with a new book, and I go running, oh, let me try that, oh, let me try. Why do you think there's so many new things coming out all the time? They don't work. Hello? They don't work. Okay, you're going to get mad at me now. G12, not in the Bible. Sorry, doesn't work. Divides the body, divides the church. Everybody trying to do the same thing. That's not being led of the Spirit. That's not looking to Christ. That's looking to some program of man. That's a law. Okay, you can get mad and leave now. But that's only been around 8 or 10 years. This has been around for thousands of years. These things come and these things go, and that one will go too. The purpose-driven life came to America 12 years ago. It's already gone. Doesn't work. Why should it work? If it was in the Bible, I'd believe it. Besides, even on that book's cover is the mark of Satan. Oh, Brother Dan, it's kind of strong. I don't back down from it. It does not point you to the blood. It does not teach the cross. It does not point you to Jesus. and point you to yourself. The very title of the book, Driven by a Purpose, the Purpose-Driven Life. Cattle are driven. Carabao are driven. Sheep are led by the Spirit. Right? Hallelujah. So our faith in our laws, in our works, in our programs, what is the object of our faith? Our performance. How am I doing so far? Oh, I did good last week. I did good. I read 14 chapters of the Bible and I prayed for 2 hours and now I'm good. My faith is in my works and what I'm doing. Oh, I went there and I went here. And I'm all my faith. But this week, oh man, I was so tired. I'm sorry, God, I didn't do anything. My faith is in my performance. But under grace, if my faith is in Christ and what He did on the cross, what will be the power source? What's the power source? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's empowered me. Amen? Glory to God. The Holy Spirit. And what is the result under the grace of God? Faith in Christ, what He did on the cross. The Holy Spirit empowered me. The result is victory. Victory over sin. Victory over the same old problem you've been having that for a lot of years, Christian. Hear me. The same problem that you've been having for years, you can walk out of here today if you make a commitment. I'm going back to the cross. I'm looking back to the finished work. I'm done with trying to sanctify myself. I'm not going to go any programs with man anymore. I'm looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. He began, He will be able to complete it until that day. Because if I go to the law, the power source, self, me, and I run out of steam, I run out of gas, and the result is going to be defeat. You are not going to live a Christian life. You are not going to be able to rest in the cross. You are not going to be able to be victorious. You will be exhausted. You will never, ever be able to sanctify yourself by what you do. Jesus said, sanctification by faith that's in me. Only me. Let's finish with this on the first session. Look at Luke chapter 9. Right after He taught us to deny ourselves, He says this. Luke chapter 9. Verse 27. I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God. He wasn't talking about heaven. He was talking about the kingdom of God on earth because they would see Jesus raised from the dead. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that He took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as He prayed, the appearance of His face was altered, and His robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked to Him who were Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah were talking to Jesus, and Peter and James and John watched them talk. What do you think they were talking about? Moses representing the law. Elijah representing the prophets. What do you think the law and the prophets were talking about? Do you think Moses was saying, man, you can see me with the rod at the Red Sea? You think Elijah was talking about the time that 850 prophets of Baal all died? And how the raven fed him. Did you think he was talking about that? No. Look at verse 31. Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. They were talking about the cross. They were talking about the finished work of God. They were talking about his death. They were talking about what Jesus would do. That's what we need to be talking about. That's what we need to be preaching, Pastor. That's what we need to be teaching. The message of the cross, the preaching of the cross to us that are saved is the power of God. Enough to the programs. We got to go back to our libraries and maybe clean some books up. Are all books bad? No. If they point to Jesus, if they point to the finished work, okay. But if they're a system of man, some way to try and sanctify yourself, maybe we need to boil some rice with them. Jesus Christ is the source of all victory. Jesus Christ is the source that we have everything. And the cross was the means. That's how he accomplished it. We must not preach the source without the means. We must preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because it is the power of God. Amen? Everybody stand, please. Everybody standing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.